You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji from Public Radio International and WNYC in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
Good morning, everybody. We've been asking people on the start of the Olympics day here today in Beijing what event they would medal in. If you have an event and you have a medal, gold, silver, or bronze, call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE. We're also talking about Iraq all hour, and my guest on the line from Los Angeles is Evan Wright, the journalist and author of the book Generation Kill, also co-producer of the HBO series Generation Kill. You talked a moment ago, Evan, about metaphors for understanding Iraqi culture. How do you think being an embed either made it difficult or made it more easy to tell the story from an Iraqi perspective?
Well, I was really telling the story from an American perspective, but I think one thing that I focused on was the lethality of the invasion toward Iraqi civilians. And I think that was underreported back home at the time of the war. So that's really what I was most capable of doing, was being there to record the numbers of civilians that were killed by U.S. troops who were actually working according to their tactics and training, but it resulted in the deaths of a lot of civilians. And those deaths were also caused by the way the insurgents fought the troops as they were the irregular forces as the Americans were moving toward Baghdad.
Well, the numbers are daunting. I mean, the war in Iraq has created one of the most severe refugee crises in history. 4 million Iraqis have fled their homes. There's apparently 2 million Iraqis displaced within the country. The U.S. has admitted just under 12,000 of those Iraqi refugees since the invasion in 2003. We're joined here in the studio, Evan, by Noor Al-Khal, who's a translator who was working in Basra for American freelance journalist Stephen Vincent. And you are now living in the United States here in Brooklyn?
Yes, I do.
Welcome. It's great to have you here.
Thank you.
What do you think the most important story Americans need to understand about the condition of Iraqi civilians is right now?
The most important story they need really, really to acknowledge and understand there is a refugee crisis resulted in the invasion of Iraq. You know, I've been here a year, and I've been talking to people about that, and I'm very disappointed with people really ignoring and completely disconnected from what's going on about refugees, you know.
How do you stay connected, living in Brooklyn?
I talk to people, you know. I lived 6 months in Manhattan, and I'm now living in Brooklyn, and I intend to go back to Manhattan because it's more, you know, dynamic to do advocacy for my fellows. And I really, really, you know, disappointed. People don't know what's going on. And unless they're one of family's member is part of the war as a military or work in Iraq or associated to the situation by the nature of work, they really disconnected from the problem.
You know, we have Evan Wright with us in Los Angeles, who was an embed with journalists. You were a translator. That's, in a sense, a kind of being an embed. I mean, you work very, very closely with a journalist. How difficult is it for American journalists to see the story from the Iraqi perspective working in a place like Basra?
Almost, it's not difficult. Almost, it's impossible because they, you know, what happened when I worked for American media and organization in Iraq since the invasion 2003 till I got kidnapped and shot in August 2005, that, you know, what happened, most American media persons, they stay in their places, in headquarters, in their hotels, and rarely, you know, got out to see themselves what's going on in the street. So we did, you know, most of the work on their behalf, and we come back with the news, with evidence, sometimes with people, you know, bring them to their headquarters to have them talk to them and listen from them.
You know, Evan, that was not your reputation. I mean, I think they described you in the last segment as the thing that wouldn't leave. You were someone who really did hang around. You know, the security difficulties after the invasion really did change the story. How do you view what happened to the journalism in Iraq post-invasion?
Well, there's two things. In Basra, for instance, I think the U.S. media lost interest because that was sort of controlled by the Brits. And because it was not an American story, I think editors back home were less interested in it. And I also think the other problem with our media coverage is the implosion of conventional media back home. So you don't have local papers being able to send their reporters to cover their troops that are fighting in Iraq or serving over there, because local papers no longer have the resources. And even the national news outlets have less resources to send reporters over there. So there, when I've been to Iraq, when I was there last summer, the military was really hurting for reporters. They really wanted more reporters to be coming over and embedding, and they just weren't coming.
It's really fascinating, Evan and Noor, because both of you have just made two very similar points, obviously coming from very different perspectives, but one about the lack of connectedness that most Americans feel to the war unless they have a family member. If you're an Iraqi American, you've got a family member in Iraq, or you're a member, you're a family member is in the military. But secondarily, this media cover question, it's a question of resources and how many American journalists are there in Iraq on the ground. And Noor, and the people that you've been talking to, why do you think there is this disconnect or a resistance to engaging on the issue of what's happening in Iraq?
It's very traumatic. And, you know, I think by the nature of American people, as far as I know, by living here a year, they cannot really believe that such a crisis, you know, is happening. They cannot, you know, comprehend it, because it's been 5 years Americans fighting in Iraq without making any progress, real progress. And things are not stable. And when there is little, you know, security, stability, it turns after a while into chaos. And we expect after, you know, this short period of stability, things were going to getting, you know, to the bus, you know, like to the chaos.
Noor, you referred a moment ago to the circumstances of your departure. You were kidnapped and you were shot and you've recovered, obviously, and you're here in the United States for about a year. Do you think you'll ever go back? I mean, given the trauma and your assessment of the chaos, which you suspect, I guess, isn't going to go away.
I don't expect myself or my fellows to go back to Iraq in near future, like, you know, because we really have no trust in what's happening there. We are no longer trust Iraqi government, neither American government, because the real commitments to our problems is very, very, you know, disappointing. Mm-hmm. So we're not considering going back, even if we want it.
Evan, do you think you'll go back to Iraq to get another view of what an embed is like in 2008 or 2009?
Yeah, I hope to go back, and I hope to see conditions improve there, although I'm not optimistic like Noor. Things have gotten a little better in the past year, as some of the previous sound bites that you played indicated. But, you know, I'd like to see what happens, because we are deeply involved there as a nation, even though it doesn't often feel that way at home.
Finally, Evan, very quickly, there was a sense in watching, I haven't read your book, but I did watch some of the segments from the series, and I was struck, because I too spent some time in Iraq around the invasion times, I was struck by the how much time is spent downtime, how much time the soldiers are bored, and some of the other elements that you show of what it's like for these soldiers on the ground. What have people said to you most has struck them as something they didn't expect?
I actually think one of the things that strikes people is once the action starts in the show, which is based on the book, how much humor these guys maintained, even between these horrific firefights and incidents with civilians and incidents when Marines were wounded, how much they maintained this humor and how much perspective the troops actually had on what they were doing.
Humor, and often a dark humor. Evan Wright, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Evan Wright is the author and co-producer of Generation Kill, and Noor Al-Khal is a translator and an Iraqi expat here working and advocacy work for Iraqi refugees here in New York. Noor, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
We are always on at The Takeaway. You can catch up with us on our website. And actually, Barbara had something to say, Adora.
She said she woke up this morning and The Takeaway announced today's date. I immediately remembered it was my parents' 66th wedding anniversary. What an amazing story it was for me to find out about how special this date is, particularly to the Chinese. Her parents, her mother died 2 years ago, her dad several months ago, but it made her day very special knowing about how significant the date was for her parents.
8808. And in honor of the Olympics, we want to know which event you'd medal in. Our Veep Stakes training is still going on Facebook, and here's your takeaway for today.
What you see nowadays is just watered down for most people because they don't really want to hear a lot about it, and I think that they should.
Hoo-ah, a Marine, speaking with us earlier with Evan Wright of Generation Kill.
I'm Adora Udoji.
And I'm John Hockenberry. Good luck today. It's
and
The Takeaway.
And this is... No, we have to say it together. This is...
The Takeaway.
This is The Takeaway.